We must have enemies. Vic was so tired that when she sat, she nearly missed the chair. She'd been tired for months, for years. She couldn't remember not being tired, and the broken nose by no means helped. But prisoners won't interrogate themselves.
So, she said, the word a slightly painful sigh, Master Salby.
The sight of his face made her feel a bit better about her own. Gunnabroad had smashed it to barely recognizable mush. You could have said he was lucky to be alive after the beating he'd taken, but lucky was a tough word to use about a man sitting where he was.
Not much need to refresh our memories as to your crimes, is there? She asked. You've been up to your eyes in the great change right back to Valbec. You were a judge's side in the court of the people. You herded dozens off the Tower of Chains.
I did, said Salby.
There was a sloppy sucking to his D-sounds, the broken jaw, maybe.
And I'd do it again.
Vic pressed gently at the aching bridge of her nose. She was past disgust, far past outrage. It just made her tired now.
Where's the Weaver?
She asked without much hope of an answer. Where's Pike?
I don't know, he growled. But if I did, you'd think I'd tell you.
She glanced, heavy-lidded, at the box of instruments. We could try it and see.
You're a traitor. To your kind. To yourself.
He worked his tongue around his broken teeth and spat on the table.
You're a liar and a thief and a traitor to everything.
Vic shrugged.
And?
And you'll never beat us. We'll be back. More of us than ever. More than you can count.
It wasn't the least bit funny, but Vic couldn't help herself. She snorted out a chuckle, then had to wince at the flash of pain across her face.
Folk can't wait to be rid of you. Breakers and burners, they're cheering the end of you. You said you'd strike a blow for the common man. All you did was starve them, freeze them, and kill them.
She sat forwards with a grunt. Damn, she was aching.
Truth is, and take it from someone who's spent a dozen years in prison. In the end, people don't really care much about being free. They want to be warm and well-fed and to not have to worry. In particular, they want to not have to worry about being thrown off a tower for wearing the wrong shoes.
Salby frowned down at the table. She thought it was a frown anyway. Hard to tell exactly where the corners of his mouth were.
We were in the right,
he muttered, though it sounded like he was trying to convince himself rather than her.
You'll see.
I doubt I will, but I know you won't.
Vic pressed a thumb into her stiff hip as she worked her way up from the table.
They're hanging you tomorrow.
Tallow was waiting outside in the damp-smelling corridor, a book clutched in his hands and his big sad eyes on her, as if he still hoped even now that she might somehow have the answers. Damn, he was more like her brother than ever. That made her tired too.
Another one for the list?
He asked, falling in beside her, their footsteps echoing dully from the damp walls. She gave a grunt, eyeing the doors as they passed. Tallow shook his head as he made a little mark in his book.
Feels like the Lord Regent's lists are even longer than judges were. At least they're being dealt with quietly, not splattered across the moat.
That's better, is it?
I guess once these are cleared, that'll be it. Back to normal.
That's what the Breakers said, and the Archlector before them, for that matter. A couple of enemies to cross out. Just get to the bottom of the list. Except the list kept getting longer.
She ventured a little sniff, a squeak of barely moving air in her swollen face, a hint of salty snot at the back of her throat, which she could never quite manage to swallow.
We must have enemies, Tallow. Always.
You're a ray of sunshine. Sunshine's not really appropriate for an executioner, especially one with a broken nose.
They rounded the corner and Vic stopped dead.
Oh, bloody hell,
squeaked Tallow. They'd been expecting her, but the sight of Savine Dan Brock under the House of Questions was still as shocking as suddenly spying a diamond in the gutter. She looked a different woman from the one Vic first met in that bouncing carriage on the way to Valbec with the glassy perfection of an expensive doll. The same immaculate poise, perhaps, the same assessing eye, but more honest, more human. Fewer jewels, less ornament, lots of virtuous white. The mother of the nation, they were calling her. She'd even somehow turned the clipped hair and the scar into advantages. She looked beautiful and like she didn't care a shit about anyone else's opinion.
Lady Regent, Vic gave an awkward bow. I apologize, but my curtsy's a thing no one of your refined taste should be forced to see. I have braved worse horrors, Inquisitor Teufel. Are you Inquisitors again? I'm not sure anyone really knows at this point.
We're all finding a course through uncharted waters, though she looked to Vic as if she knew exactly where she was headed.
Are you well, Master Tallow?
Tolerably so,
he managed to gurgle out.
My lady?
Tolerably well is as well as can be hoped for these days. I understand you swore an oath of loyalty to my son.
Vic raised her brows. Even that felt like an effort.
I spent years working for your father, your adopted father, not the other one, so I learned how to take a hint. I got the strong feeling your husband's offer was to swear the oath and stay in the Inquisitor's chair, or refuse and go in the prisoner's one. But then, I've always been a traitor and a liar, so it wasn't difficult to do.
She gave a hopeless shrug.
Far be it from me to stand in the way of the new union, or the new union, is it?
The Lady Regent had the good grace to show a touch of guilt about the way it had all turned out. She even managed to make that look good.
Please believe me when I say that things are not the way I wanted them.
You can never let them see your feelings. Never let them think you've got any. Show hurt, you're asking to be hurt. But Vic was so tired and broken and aching. All she could think of, for some reason, was Sybilt's last sad smile. Malma and the rest dangling over the road out of Valbec. All those names carved into the Square of Martyrs. All those people who fell from the Tower of Chains. She found she'd stepped close to Savine, found she was looking her right in the eye, found that, for once, she was being honest.
Just tell me it'll be better.
Her throat felt tight, like she still had Corporal Smiler's hands around her bruised neck.
It doesn't have to be some paradise.
She had to force the words through gritted teeth.
But it can't all be for nothing. You understand? It can't.
It was quiet in that shabby corridor for a moment. The Lady Regent blinked at Vic as if she saw her for the first time. Then she gently nodded.
I understand, and I will do my best. Good.
Vic cleared her throat.
Good.
She turned away, trying to swallow that lump in her throat, wiping her eyelids with a knuckle. Tallow stood against the wall staring at her, like he'd seen Eos rise from the grave.
What?
Vic snarled at him.
Nothing,
he squeaked. She set her jaw and gripped the door handle.
Let's get on with it, then.
She'd never had much dislike for the prisoners. Even disapproval was an effort these days. But for this one, she could make an exception.
There are still some men it's a pleasure to hang, she said, planting her fists on the scarred tabletop.
Spillian Swarbrek cringed in his chair, stripped naked, cheeks tracked with the tears he'd notably failed to cry on behalf of all those he'd sent to the long drop.
"Inquisitor, please," he babbled. "You are a woman of the world. You understand the position I was in, the compromises that had to be made. I am, I freely admit, a weak man. I have always been so easily led, swept up by great passions and powerful personalities like a leaf on the wind. I am pleading with you. I am begging you."
"No point asking my forgiveness," said Vic. "I'm not allowed any. You might have more luck with her." She nodded towards the door. "But I wouldn't bet on it."
"Oh,"
he said in a very small voice as the Lady Regent swept in with chill majesty.
"Oh, dear."
She arranged herself on the Inquisitor's chair with a rustling of expensive silk, while Swarbrick shrank further and further into his seat, chains faintly clinking. If he could have sucked his head into his shoulders like a turtle, Vic imagined he would have. "He was caught at the docks," she said, "trying to get out of the city disguised as a woman, one of the few people in the circle of the world who can safely say they look worse than me in a dress."
"Lady Savine,"
his eyelids fluttered and fresh tears ran down his face.
"Lady Regent, I beg of you."
"Shut!" hissed Savine furiously through her gritted teeth. "Your fucking mouth!"
She closed her eyes, composing herself, took a breath, then opened them flinty hard.
"Understand the restraint it takes on my part not to see you dragged up the Tower of Chains and flung to your death."
"I do understand, Your Highness. I do. Please, you must see, I lost perspective."
"Perspective? Is that what you lost?"
"I got carried away, and not for the first time. When I was in the far country, fates help me, I am so easily dragged off course. I never learn. It was the times. It was Judge. I didn't know what I was doing."
"Please, all you got carried away with, Swarbrick, was your own power and cruelty and self-importance."
"I am a worm,"
he whispered, head hanging, tears dripping.
"An utter worm."
"Oh no, worms do some good."
Savine slowly sat back, lip wrinkled with disgust, the angry flush fading from her cheek.
"Cowardly liar you may be, ridiculous fantasist you may be, disloyal scum you certainly are, but for reasons I cannot divine, people listen to you."
"They do, Lady Savine."
A sudden hope lit his face.
"Your Highness, Lady Regent, I am ever so keen to be of service in whatever humble and lowly way."
"You will write of me again," said Savine.
"I will."
"Just like you did in The Darling of the Slums, your best work."
The flicker of a smile on Swarbrick's lips.
"You think so?"
"The best turd in the sewer," growled Vic, making him cringe again.
"You will rain praise upon me," said Savine.
"I will lavish you with compliments, Your Highness. I will burnish your legend. I will raise you up on a cushion of eulogy. The deliverer of the people, the mother of the nation, you and your children,"
blubbered Swarbrick,
"and your noble husband."
"My children, yes. My husband can extol his own virtues."
"Sure you don't want to hang this bastard?" asked Vic. Seemed there was no more justice in the world than there had been when Judge sat in the court of the people. But then, justice had always been in short supply. Who'd know better than her, who'd had years of her life stolen for someone else's crimes? The Lady Regent considered her carefully.
"You spent years working for my father.
You should have learned not to hang what you can use. She narrowed her eyes at Swarbrick.
I suggest you get to your press and keep it hot. You live now to make me loved, and you will live precisely as long as you are useful to me.
Savine stood, looking down her nose at the sobbing ex-prosecutor.
Not an instant longer.